You have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that which returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." The cleansing of a single leper took place shortly at the beginning, or after the beginning of our Lord's public ministry. And the cleansing of the 10 here takes place near the end of his ministry, shortly before he is to be crucified. When the one leper came to Jesus, he had nothing to look back on because Jesus at that point had not cleansed a leper. But when the 10 came to Jesus, they had plenty to look back on because he had cleansed numerous lepers. I want to remind you this morning of the awfulness of the disease of leprosy and how it affected the individuals who had it. Leprosy was a disease that started at the extremities, and it would work in towards the trunk of the body. It would cause the arms or the hands, the feet, to be insensitive to pain. They would be numbed, and after a while they would wither, and they would literally die. And leprosy was the disease that eventually ended in death. We especially want to focus in on the fact this morning that leprosy is a picture of sin. And what leprosy does to the body, sin does to the soul. In the message today, I want us to focus more on the response of those who are cleansed, both of leprosy and of sin. And so I've entitled the message for this morning, "Where Are the 9?" Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to face his crucifixion. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead back in Bethany, and he passed through Jericho, the Bible said, and he would there open the eyes of blind Bartimaeus, and he would give salvation to Zacchaeus. But in our text today, we find him passing through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And just as he is about to pass through this very small village, Jesus hears some voices crying out in unison, and they were calling out for God to be merciful upon them. Now, we know that they were separated from the crowd because the law simply required that they stay at least 100 paces from those that were passing by. But Jesus heard the hoarse, sad voices of these lepers as they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, these untouchables, these outcasts from society, these individuals that were hated, they were feared, detested, and they were universally shunned. Now, they were asking Jesus to give them mercy. Now, they had been ostracized from society. They had been cut off from the blessings of family and friends, of religion and employment. And it's obvious you could see that they were desperate for some kind of help. They needed some help. The vilest of criminals were held in higher esteem than these wretched, miserable souls that had leprosy. You see, I believe they were hoping that when Jesus passed by, that he would see them differently than others had seen them. They were beyond all hope, but they had hope because Jesus was passing that way. We can be sure that the people fled from before these lepers as they were commanded by the law to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." It must have cleared a path plenty wide for them to be able to see Jesus face to face. The scriptures simply state, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest." Now Jesus would have mercy on these miserable outcasts, but he would also put their faith to the test. It was the duty of the priest to examine a leper who claimed to be cleansed and pronounced him either clean or unclean. So Jesus sent them to the priest, and notice he did not cleanse them until they went out and he told them to go. And I don't know just where it was that they were cleansed, maybe just a little ways from where they started. Maybe it was halfway. I don't know. But the Bible said along the way, somewhere there, Jesus cleansed them of their leprosy. Now, when Jesus made that promise of cleansing, and when they went out from where they were to where the temple stood, somewhere along the way, they were cleansed. With eager anticipation, with renewed hope, and with a daring faith, I can see them as they leave where Jesus was, and the Bible said as they were going that they were cleansed. Now, in other words, their obedience paid off in big dividends. It always pays to be obedient to the Word of God. The Old Testament says to behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience to what he says is proof positive of our faith and our trust in him. Can you imagine with me this morning, somewhere along the way, maybe immediately, or maybe after they've traveled a bit, they became clean. Now, I don't know about you, but they found out that what he had done for others, he could also do for them. And I believe that they did a hallelujah dance right there when they looked and they saw that my skin is no longer withered and rotting, but it's just like the skin of a baby. And they recognized that God had promised and he fulfilled his promise and he gave cleansing unto them. Did the 9 lepers go to the temple and show themselves to the priest as Jesus had said for them to do? We do not know because the scripture is silent on this particular thing. Some commentators believe that the 9 probably did go to the temple because they were Jews. And so they went to the priest because they put a whole lot more stock on what this priest would say. But this one man was a Samaritan. Now, leprosy is a type and a symbol of a sinner in the grip of defilement, a defilement that is far worse than leprosy. But the good news is there is a prescription for remedy, and that is the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. You see, brethren, the good news that we have to share with the world is that their sins can be forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It will cleanse of all sin. We don't know for sure what happened to the 9. All we know is that they did not return to Christ to give him thanks, as did this one. So before we consider the one, I want us to look at those who were not thoughtful. I want us to look at the 9 just for a few moments this morning. Now, the scripture does not say that the nine were Jews, but evidently they were, for otherwise the Lord would not have told them to go and to report in to the priest for cleansing. The scripture does say, though, that there was one that was a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritan was in the company of the Jews, and we asked the question, how is that possible? Because the Jews have no dealings with a Samaritan. But I think the answer is obvious, is because of leprosy. They had a disease, and they were allowed to associate with one another in that miserable leper colony. And so in their mutual misery, the Jews had tolerated the company of this Samaritan. But now that they were cleansed and they were going to the temple, they were probably glad that this Samaritan elected to go back to where Jesus was and to thank him. One would have thought that sooner or later, every one of them would have found their way back to Jesus to give him thanks for what he had done for them. They were destined to die. They were having their flesh just rot away, and they were dying day after day after day. And eventually it was going to take their life. Considering what all that Jesus had done for them, how in the world could they just simply go on their way, do their own thing, and never return to offer their appreciation to the Lord Jesus Christ? How could they? Well, let me speculate for just a moment. I believe they were people just like you and me. I can imagine what happened, because the same thing happens today and it will continue to happen tomorrow. In every generation, there have been those who have been delivered from the curse of sin. And they have forgotten just how good that God has been to them. Have you ever seen someone on the deathbed? They know that their future looks grim. And so you talk to them about their spiritual need, and they're grasping at straws and any hope. And they call out to God to have mercy upon their wretched soul. And God is merciful and he gives healing to them. They make their promises and commitments to God. But then after they get better and they go home, they forget the promises and the commitments that they have made to God. That's why there's so little confidence in deathbed repentance. But you know, we make promises to the Lord when we become a Christian. I surrender all. Lord, you can depend on me. I give you my heart and my life. I'll be obedient to you. And then we don't always live up to it. Let me give you nine reasons why these thoughtless ones may not have returned to say thank you. One might have said, I have my family to think of. Since I became a leper, I've been neglecting my family. I was separated from them for a long time. I haven't seen my wife and my children for a long time now, and I've got to think of my family, so I'm going to go and take care of them. A second might have said, I have my friends to think of. Before my leprosy, I had a lot of friends. They were close and personal friends. My disease separated me from them, and I haven't heard from them in a long time. I have no idea where they are. I've got to go and find and re-identify and associate with my friends. A third might have said, I have my finances to think of. As soon as I was diagnosed with this disease of leprosy, I was literally run out of town. And I haven't had a chance to even see how all of this has affected my finances. There's no telling what kind of a mess that my finances are in. I've got to go and check on them. A fourth might have been, I have my frustrations to think of. Before I caught this dreadful disease, everything was going well with me. The future looked bright. I was really enjoying life, but this leprosy that came upon me took it all away. I've been frustrated up to here in my life, and I have got to get all of these festered, harbored up feelings out of my life and my system. I've got to get back out there and enjoy life again. I will go maybe one of these days, but not now. A fifth may have said this, I have my faith to think of. Before I discovered that I was a leper, I was a scribe. I have religious convictions, you know. And anyway, I'm not real sure that I go along with everything that this rabbi from Nazareth is saying and what he requires of us. Some of his ideas are way out there. I've got to get back to the religion of my upbringing. A sixth might have said, well, I have my followers to think of. Before I met Jesus, I was a leading advocate for social and political action to improve the well-being and the living conditions of the people. That's an important cause, you know, and I've got to get back out there and do all I can to help. A seventh might have said, well, I have my failures to think of. You see, I have all of these bad habits. I have a foul mouth, and I can't always resist temptation. I've heard quite a bit about Jesus, and there's simply no way that I can live up to his expectations of my life. I've got to work on my life first. I'll straighten up, and then I will consider going back to him. The eighth might have said, I have my feelings to think of. Of course, I'm grateful for what he has done, but you must understand, I've been sick for a long time. I have been depressed for a long time. You have no idea just how depressing it is to be a leper. I need to simply take some time for myself, and I need to just have time to recover. I'm extremely tired. A ninth and final leper might have said this, I have my future to think of. I've heard about Jesus, and I know that he demands total commitment. I've heard him tell people that they could not be his disciple unless they forsook all that they had and then they would come and follow him. I'm still young and I've got a career ahead of me. I've got a life to live. Maybe one of these days I'll go back and say thank you to Jesus. Some in our day have become thoughtless, and they're using the same excuses for not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ in gratitude to serve him. How sad that Jesus has done so much for us and them, and yet they did not return unto him to give thanks. Isn't it sad to think of what the Lord has done for you and you and you and me? That he forgave us of our sins. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, there was no good thing in you. Amen. You were totally depraved. All of us are totally depraved. There's no spark of divinity. We're lost. We're on the road to a devil's hell. But thank God he sent his son in the fullness of time to die just for us. Amen. On the cross of Calvary. How can we not say thank you to him? And how can we not live a life of thanksgiving unto him? Well, there remained one who returned to Jesus. He's the thankful one. Of the 10 cleansed leper, this was the only one who was ready to do the good, the right, and the honorable thing. Go back to the one that had cleansed him and give thanks. He had done so much for him. Jesus had cleansed him through and through. There was not a bit of leprosy. All the decay and the death of this dread disease had dropped away. He had been diseased and crippled, and he was facing certain death. How could he do any less than go back and just simply say, thank you, Lord. I'm indebted to you. I will serve you all the days of my life. Oh, it's easy to take a liking to this man. This man brushed all the excuses aside. He could have been like the nine. He could have made excuse, and he could have been maybe justified in the eyes of men, but he went back to enthrone Jesus in his heart and his life. He came back and fell on his face before the Lord, and he lifted up his voice in thanksgiving and praise, and he thanked the Lord for all that he had done for him, and Jesus looked at him. And I know that the heart of the Savior was warmed as he looked and he saw this one that returned. But that, you know, what the Lord wanted really to know, weren't there 10 that were healed? Where are the 9? Where are the 9 that were healed? There was so much more that Jesus wanted to do for them. They had their cleansing, and he wanted their consecration. Listen to me, brethren. When you get cleansed, you start out as a babe in Christ, and you haven't arrived. You've got to grow in grace and in knowledge and draw closer to him. And I pray that 2016 will be a year of spiritual growth in this church, that we can see greater stability and faithfulness and commitment to the cause of Christ. This is what Christ wants out of all of us, is that we draw closer and closer to him, and that we can look back over our lives and see that, yes, we have grown. Spiritually, we have grown. We've grown in knowledge. We've grown in grace. We've grown spiritually in him. We see this quite regularly. The gospel is preached, the invitation given. This one, that one, they come to the altar and they bow their knee to the will of God. They're at the altar. Somebody comes and they pray with them, and they're warmly welcomed and congratulated by the members of the church. And for all practical purposes, that's the last time that you see them. Or they might come back a time or two or three, but before long, they have disappeared. They seem to maybe have melted back into the world from which they came. They never get baptized. They never join the church. They never support anything. They never give to anything to help. Jesus says, where are the 9? Where are they? God help us that we'll be that one. I know there are a lot of folks out there that would fall in the category of the 9, but thank God for the one. I want to be like the one, don't you? Now, I don't know if the ratio of 1 to 10 has anything to say to us. I don't want to be like the 9. I want to be like the 1. I think all of us want to finish well. That we've started this race, and I started a long time ago when I was 14. And I'm going to tell you, I love my Lord more today than I've ever loved him. And the path gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. And I know that his coming is drawing nigh. I don't know when he's coming, but I believe because of the signs of the time and the day that we live in, it won't be long. It won't be very long. And so I want, with all that is within me, finish well, finish strong, walk faithfully. God, give me a pure heart. Give me clean hands. God, help me to study your word, to spend time in prayer. God, help me to draw closer to you. Let me remind you again of the horribleness of leprosy. And let me remind you that what leprosy does to the body, sin does to the soul. Sin is loathsome. It is a disgusting thing. It is a stench in the nostrils of God. What the Lord has done for us in cleansing us from our wretched, miserable condition, I think is certainly mind-boggling. Why he would reach down and pull me up out of sin, wash me white as snow, I don't know. I don't know, because there was nothing good in me. But I'm so glad that he had mercy on that 14-year-old lad in Oklahoma City a long time ago. I'm just glad that he saw me in my sin, and he sent a preacher to preach the word of God to me. He sent some friends that had been praying for me, unbeknownst to me. And when he got up and preached that Sunday night, the preacher didn't realize it maybe, because that was his first Sunday there. But he was preaching right to me. He preached the word of God. It fit me just like a glove. And I was on the second row in the middle of two friends. And he gave the invitation, and I did what most sinners do. I grabbed hold of that pew in front of me, and I held on for dear life, thinking that, I can hang on here. One of them, Gerald Mangum, who became a chaplain, he reached his arm around me, said, "Carl," he saw what I was going through. He had been there himself not too long before, and he said, "Can I go with you to the altar?" You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't know what I said. I don't know what I did. The next thing I knew, I was at the altar, and I was pleading for God to be merciful to me. I didn't know how to pray. Never really been in church all my life. My family didn't go, but I knew I was a sinner. I knew I had spent some awful, awful nights since I'd been going to church, some awful nights, thinking I was going to hell and falling into the very pits of hell. But after I went to the altar and I asked the Lord to come into my heart, couldn't find John 3:16, my life depended on it. But I'm telling you, he reached down that night and he took that old sin-sick heart and soul and he applied some blood, his blood on it, and he washed me white as snow. I'm telling you, I've never been the same since. I am so glad this morning that he loves us. He doesn't just love me, he loves you, and he loves everybody. Can you imagine? That's mind-boggling to me, that he loves us all. We were headed for death because the wages of sin is death, but God gave us life here and now, the abundant life, and then life eternal there. Are you grateful for what he has done for you and you? Are you grateful? Have you expressed that gratitude recently? Have you just stopped to say thank you? Brethren, every day ought to be a thanks day when we thank him for all that he has done for us. And have you given him your life as a token of your thanks? Have you given him your life, all of you, from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet? Have you given him your life as a token of your thanks to him? That's what he wants, isn't it? We know that. That's what he wants. Will you bow with me for prayer?